Hello, Kenny. How are you?
Good. Nice to be with you.
Our pleasure, as always. So, good news. Last time we talked, you hadn't talked to Nick and didn't know what his situation was going to be. You weren't 100% sure. You were hopeful, but not confident, maybe. Now you got the word. Nick Lidstrom will be back for a 20th season in the NHL? Is that right?
Yeah, obviously great news for us, especially with Brian Rafalski retiring.
Of course.
Nick has been so important to our team. He's a finalist for the Norris Trophy. If you don't look at the birth certificate, he continues to be one of the best defensemen in the world and, again, one of our most important players. So I think people look at the birth certificate and think that his skills are diminishing, but Nick is one of those guys that has defied Father Time, and he would be, especially losing Rafalski and Lidstrom in the same offseason would have been, I guess I would use the word devastating, but thrilled to have Nick back.
I guess. Now, Ken, what do you think tipped the balance in terms of Nick's decision to come back? It's certainly on the ice, he hasn't lost a whole lot, remarkably, considering how long he's played. But what do you think influenced his decision to play another season?
Well, he talked a lot today in the press conference about motivation. His standards are very high, and I think if he's going to come back, he wants to know that he's prepared. You know, people see the games. That's really the dessert for an athlete. It's all about the work that you do year-round, and especially in the off-season. And Nick had talked today about the older you get, the harder you have to work to prepare to play at a similar level. So I think that he wanted to take some time and make sure that he was motivated to come back, talk to his family. His one son spent all winter going to school and playing hockey in Sweden. And, good news for us, he is motivated. But, obviously it's taken him longer. He met talk today a little bit. It's taken him longer every summer to make those decisions. So, obviously he's taken it a year at a time, and we're thrilled to have him back for the upcoming season.
Compare Lidstrom at this point in his career, maybe with a guy like Chelios at this point in his career, or can you?
Well, at age 40, in 2002, when we won the Cup, Chelly was the runner-up to Nick Lidstrom for the Norris. Nick won the Norris, and Chelly was the runner-up. So now Nick is a year older. Nick is a finalist for the for the Norris Trophy. I think that Nick talked today, he's not going to hang, around the game, when he's no longer, one of our best defensemen. He's on the ice in all key situations. Chelly would still be playing now, I think, if we give him a contract. But, Nick is, Chelly, obviously they both defied Father Time. I think that, Chelly got it done because of heart determination, his instincts. Nick continues to be a tremendous skill player that runs a power play, can generate attack. I don't know that Chelly Chelly was a great defender. A little bit different, but obviously when you got guys at the age of 40 being finalists for the Norris Trophy, they're special players.
Now, since we're talking about guys at that stage of their career, the other Detroit story that's been floating around, Ken, is the idea that you guys would be, that Jaromir Jagr wants to come back from Russia and play another season, and that you guys might be interested. It does sound like a Detroit Red Wings kind of move to a lot of people, and I just wonder about your level of interest and what you think. I think the last time most people saw Yaro was at the Olympics. What you think he has left right now?
Well, it's probably a Detroit Red Wing move because it probably appears to be a youth movement. we have had some conversations with his agent. I have had some conversations. It is a bit of a Red Wing move. We are open to star players coming in the later stages of their career if we think they can be a fit. So Jaromir is exploring whether he wants to leave the KHL and come over to North America. And I think there's other teams that are interested beyond us. So I'm not sure where it's at. We have had conversations. We continue to stay in touch. I think Jaromir is deciding what he wants to do, but we do have some interest.
Yeah, with Ken Holland, the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings. With the arrival or return, if you will, of the NHL to Winnipeg, it has been suggested or stated, in fact, that there will be realignment. And there may be even more than realignment. There may be a complete juggling of the cards in the NHL deck. You've been quoted as suggesting that if you had your personal druthers, the Red Wings would be back in the East. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah.
And do you think there's a case to be made? Does your owner, first of all, agree with you? And do you think there's a chance that this might happen?
Yeah, everybody in our organization, from the Illiches on down through Jim Devolano, you know, I just think we should be in the East, really, for our fans. You know, we play a lot of. We'd like to have our road games on at 7 to 8 o'clock instead
sure.
of half or three quarters of our road games on at 9 o'clock to 10:30. You know, I think I think from a competitive standpoint, I think our players have gotten used to being in the Western Conference. I think that, but our fans, I think, you know, still is that. You think about for us playing all those Eastern Conference teams at least a couple of times at home. You know, all those original six teams
right.
and teams that we have history with. So I think it's, again, from a competitive standpoint, I think we're okay to be in the Western Conference. We've got our own plane. Our players are used to it. They know what's up. But I think that our fans would really like us to be in the Eastern Conference because of the timing of the road games, and also there's so many rivalries in the East. So certainly, if we're going to lobby, we'd like to be in the East. But at the end of the day, we're going to do whatever we think is best for the league. But certainly, our preference is to move East if it makes sense for everybody else.
Now you say your players are used to it, and I know they're not flying in the 44th row of a commercial flight, so it's not like other people traveling. But if your base trip, road trip, turned into, instead of being 2 or 3 hours or more, potentially going to the coast, turned into an hour or an hour and a half, does that change things, do you think, over the course of a long season for a team?
Yeah, I think the other thing, I mean, if we stayed in the West, we'd like to see a more balanced schedule. Like, we'd like to probably cut one trip out. You know, we do two trips to California and two trips to Western Canada. You know, we'd like to maybe have more games against the East and you know, cut out one of those trips. So, you know, again, we want to be good partners. Our preference is to be in the East. But I think our fans would prefer us to be in the East. But if we're in the West, we'd like to see a more balanced schedule. And obviously, in the playoff time, we've this year back and forth to Phoenix and back and forth to San Jose. We've done that a number of times. So, you know, playoffs, it gets tough. But I guess it's the same for the team you're playing against. They're going back and forth. But, you know, it's we'll see. It's obviously going to be an interesting next 12 months.
All right, to say the least, with Ken Holland. Last point of discussion. Clubs and agents are being told that the salary cap for next year will be at $64 million with a floor of $48 million. Kenny, is it just me, or is this Looney Tunes, a floor of $48 million? Now, I know the Red Wings don't fit into that problem. That's not something that you need to address. But isn't it nuts to have a floor of $48 million in the National Hockey League?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's all based upon revenues generated from this season. So, you know, obviously there's revenue sharing where the big market teams are helping the smaller teams. So, you know, I think the biggest thing, you know, I think the best thing that's happened coming out of 2005 with the salary cap, you just look at the parity. I mean, I think of the 15 playoff series this year, 7 went to game 7. We were in third place. I think we were 9 points out of ninth. So certainly, I think that the parity and the salary cap, the floor and the ceiling, has created an exciting league for our fans. Is the floor too high? I don't. It's hard to say that because again, everything's tied to revenues and the players have negotiated their percentage.
Yeah, and I know it's unfair to ask you because you're not in that position, and I'm effectively asking you to speak for one of the other general managers. But Steven and I were talking about it earlier, and I opined to him. I said, you know, if you cut the floor from $48 million to $24 million, if you cut it in half, there might be a half dozen teams in the National Hockey League that still couldn't make money, and at $48 million, I just don't know how the current economics work. Can you explain it?
Well, I just get back to I get back to the race, the races in the West. You know, it's impossible for me to talk about the economics of 29 other teams.
I understand.
You know, so I don't know what the economics of the 29 other teams. I just get that certainly coming out of 2005, I think that with the change in the rules and the change to a floor and a ceiling, I think our game is in the best shape competitively than it ever has been in the history of the National Hockey League. From, you know, I really can't talk about the economics for the other 29 teams.
Fair enough. I know you got a draft coming up. You got other things going on in the summertime. Hopefully, I'm sure you will get a little bit of time to rest and relax and recharge. And we wish you a good summer. And we thank you, as always, for the time that you spend with us. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Yeah. Thank you. Nice talking to you.